This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Good morning and welcome to the Fall 2015 Provider Training, scheduled for today, August 13, from 10 to 12 noon. Although we are scheduled for 10 to 12 noon, I don't anticipate that it will take the full 2 hours, but I ask you to bear with us as we proceed. Just a little general housekeeping before we start the webinar. Please minimize the background noise during the webinar. So we're please keep your phone on mute to listen to the webinar. This will eliminate background noise and discussions from disrupting the actual webinar. If your phone does not have a mute button, please press #6 to mute and press #6 to unmute. And there will be a question bar menu located at the top of your screen, and we're asking that if you have any questions, please list your questions there, and they will be answered at the end of the call. We will now start the presentation. The objectives of this webinar conference call.
Presentation mode is now enabled.
The objectives of this webinar or conference call is to provide our participants with information regarding grant program monitoring scheduled for the fiscal year 2015-16, respectively to the fall 2015 for this year. In regards to the programs monitored, we will be monitoring fiscal years 2013-14, 2014-15, as well as 2015-16, and we will be looking at your adult education as well as your Carl D. Perkins grants. Topics to be covered on the call, on this particular webinar call, there are a host of topics ranging from why do we monitor and what is our way of work, enhancement to our current risk assessment, how do we select the agencies for monitoring, agency selected for fall 2015 on-site monitoring, monitoring strategies and areas of focus, to name a few. We're now on slide 8. Before you is pictures of our compliance team, our quality assurance and compliance staff, of whom you will receive calls or formal correspondence from in the future, most likely on today or tomorrow morning. Why do we monitor? Not because you're necessarily in trouble. At the top of the list, that is a requirement at both the state and federal levels. That being said, even if it were not a requirement, it would still be the right thing to do. Monitoring provides for strong accountability that services being provided appropriately and according to the terms of the grant, and also that the accountability for funds is transparent throughout the life of the grant. It provides you with an opportunity to correct things as you go, to improve not only your compliance record, but to bring about greater positive changes to the program as well. And as a little known fact, it also provides us with an opportunity to recognize your good practices and share these successes with others so that they too might benefit. So there are a lot of good reasons for our monitoring program. What is our way of work? It is based on project risk. It's collaborative. It recognizes positive practices, identifies and communicates findings and concerns, as well as supports continuous program improvement. But as for selecting agencies to monitor, we use a risk assessment approach that I'll describe in more detail in a minute. The vision for quality assurance and compliance. The development, design, and implementation of a strong risk-based quality assurance system is a priority for the Division of Career and Adult Education. Our commitment is to ensure that services are being provided according to the terms of the grant, and the accountability for funds is transparent throughout the life of the grant. The purpose of the quality assurance and compliance monitoring system is to assure financial accountability, program quality, as well as regulatory compliance. Risk factors, risk assessment factors used for the 2015-16 year are as follows. For the risk matrix, operational risk factors or metrics, we have six of them. They are the number of grants, the total amount of agency funding, number of grant funds remaining, the program improvement plan, better known as a TIP, audit slash monitoring findings, and the change in director. And these enhancements went into effect during the 2014-15 year, and they will be carried forward for years post. Year monitored for the 2015 grants, the year's monitoring, 2015-16 monitoring year, will focus or start with the 2013-14 grants to current. We're now on slide 13 if you're following along. 2015-16 quality assurance enhancements included the Perkins PIP index, the risk score divided, the risk scores were divided into quartiles, and a balanced weight between data elements was provided. The 2015-2016 quality assurance risk assessment process was enhanced during the 2014-15 year to include the Perkins Improvement Plan index. Using the summarized source data information from the operational risk factors and metrics, as shown in the previous slide, the risk score was divided into quartiles, and it was then assigned a point value of 0, 1, 3, 5, or 7, as shown in the chart before you. The assigned point value was then multiplied by a balanced weight between data elements that was used to calculate the risk score. Now on slide 14, for the calculation of the risk score. The actual calculation of the risk assessment score was calculated by multiplying the point value assigned by the weight that would generate the total metric point, which would give you the full risk assessment score for your particular agency. And if you're looking on slide 15, there's a sample of a full-fledged risk assessment sheet. Each agency or provider will receive a copy of this risk assessment matrix form in their final report. And if you care to see it prior to the visit, your team lead can provide it for you. But as you can see, the point value assigned was multiplied by the weight to give us a total metric point that would generate the actual agency risk score. The risk assessment process. Although 13-14 data was used for risk assessments for the monitoring visits for the fall, the overall monitoring will be covering additional years of 14-15 as well as 15-16. Occasionally, we do monitor additional programs in the geographical area we are visiting to conserve travel funds, but for the fall, our plans don't include this. Please note, you know, people often panic because they're receiving an on-site visit from the Florida Department of Education, Quality Assurance and Compliance section. It's not a bad thing. A prime example, the allocation of $1 million carries significant more risk than $1,000. A seasoned director presents less risk than one who is new to the responsibilities of the position, or the higher the number of grants the provider administers, the higher the risk. So it is not a bad thing because you are being targeted. Provider selection for the 2015-16 year. Providers with the highest risk matrix score may be targeted for on-site monitoring. If a targeted provider was an agency with career and technical education services, we also monitored adult education services and vice versa. This would enable us to reach a greater number of grants and providers and be more efficient with travel and time. If a provider has a high risk score and was targeted for monitoring in the 2014-15 year but was monitored in the last 2 years, the provider will receive a follow-up visit that will focus on the items in the resolution plan. Various monitoring strategies are implemented based on the level of risk assigned as a result of the risk assessment process. There are six agencies that have been targeted for on-site monitoring for fall 2015. The monitoring process itself. Moving on to our monitoring strategies and processes, we use a wide variety of approaches both before, during, and after the monitoring process. As you can see, we have the pre-visit, we have the on-site and post-visit activities. During which records and data reviews will take place, direct observations of classrooms, different facilities, interviews of staff, could be via phone call, emails, or referrals, as well as resolution plans for corrective actions, for findings. When we say findings relate to those things that are in violation of law, and concerns are generally concerns that will require an action plan. These are things that the on-site monitoring staff, or quality assurance staff, observed along the visit, and these are just basically things that we will perhaps recommend that you work on and make improvements for the following year. Moving on to slide 21, pre-visit activities. As for notifications before the visit, they include the personal call that you receive from me, an official notification letter from the chancellor, superintendents, and college presidents, and the emailed memorandum that was emailed this week or earlier this week. Today's webinar is actually a part of a pre-visit activity, and we will be repeated in the fall for our agencies that will be monitored in the spring. Also part of the pre-visit activities will be extensive coordination with your team leaders. In fact, in the very near future, and as stated earlier during this call, you can expect a call from your team leader to discuss the logistics of your visit. Moving forward to the information that is required before the visit, these items as well as their due dates were listed in the actual notification memorandum that was emailed earlier this week. Please note that these items are not difficult to produce, so we're not asking you to create complicated documents or anything like that. Please refer to the date reference in the notification memorandum. And as stated, you'll be hearing from your team leader before this date, and you'll have another opportunity or plenty of other opportunities to ask them questions regarding their future visit. Now moving to slide 23, on-site activities. You notice we have the entrance conference, which is at a maximum, 1 hour maximum. Generally, it does not take the full hour. But during this time, it's an opportunity for you to share with the monitoring team different things about your programs, you know, different site visits, what are the exemplary programs that you offer, and things of that nature. And during this time, we will also share with you different aspects of the actual visit. How does it operate as far as interviews, scheduling, the logistics overall? And during that time, we will actually pay visits to your classes to observe students, interact with teachers, you know, students, hear what they're doing. And while we're there, we often host a series of interviews so that we can share this information around the state. When we travel from place to place and talk to different schools, they often want to know what we're seeing and what we're hearing out in the field. So during this time, we take advantage to talk to our students who really share and find out what they're doing in the classes. On-site activities continue. Equipment inventory. This is a very unique process, and in your actual grant, it gives specific requirements for your EDGAR as related to the 12, 13, and 14 grants. And anything effective December 26 of 2014, you will require to use the requirements according to the Uniform Grant Guidance or the Omni Super Circular. So we will be looking at your 2013-14, 2014 grants, and they will be related to the EDGAR requirements. And for any grants post December 26 of 2014, we will be required to fall under the guidance and standards of the Uniform Grant Guidance. And we will also look at Perkins Program Improvement Plans if necessary or applicable. And in the last bullet, you will notice there is an exit conference. During the exit conference, this is a time for the quality assurance and compliance staff to share with you the different things that we observed during the course of the visit. If there were any concerns or findings, you would have been notified prior to the exit conference. But during the exit conference, we will take the time to share with you any findings if necessary, any concerns, any best practices that you know, we were able to observe and perhaps share with you, things of that nature. And it's also an opportunity for you to ask questions and interact with our staff. And we're now moving forward to slide 5. Regarding records, we ask that you have accessible for us records for the 2013-14 year, 2014-15, as well as 2016. We also ask that you not make copies. Oftentimes, we visited different locations, and we walked into areas, and there have been tons of copies and tons of boxes. If we need something in particular, we will request that of you. By all means, do not make copies for us. We will look at handbooks, the materials for students, including their actual student enrollment packets, recruitment efforts, such as marketing materials, brochures, anything of that nature, general policies and procedures Oftentimes, a lot of these policies and procedures are provided online. You will take advantage of that and look at your policies and procedures online, and if so, you may actually have a binder or a binder of some sort, and we will look at that as well. First aid being continued, we ask that you please talk to others or read the reports online so that you get a better understanding of the visit. We've often found that if our providers would reach out to different providers that we've monitored in the past, it tends to make the visit run a lot smoother. One, because you've had an opportunity to find out or kind of hear from their standpoint as to how the actual visit went for them. Financial policies and procedures, including to related to purchasing and procurement, even contractual service will be looked at during the course of the visit. Travel and purchasing records, any travel to conferences, things of that nature, FACT, ACE. We will look at these different policies and procedures and travel documentation. Inventory of equipment, as stated earlier, we will definitely take an in-depth look at your inventory, and from site to site, we will be taking a valid inventory of the equipment. Oftentimes, it's by random selection. We use the grant to reference different items that were purchased to make sure that we're getting an accurate depiction of what you're actually purchasing with the grant. Maps are a big to-do when it comes to monitoring. When we visit a site in particular, we often ask that you provide some maps so that we can find the equipment inventory a lot easier. And we've experienced in the past year, most providers provided us with an actual individual that will walk around with us from site to site, which will actually save us time when we're looking for inventory. So you can take advantage of that, or you could provide a map, whatever's easy for you. And prior to the visit, we ask that you alert staff to our visit. When we're talking about your financial director, your MIS directors, or institutional research directors, and other appropriate administrators or principals. By all means, we do not want to, we've experienced a shock factor in the past. In other words, they didn't know that we were arriving. We want everyone to be abreast of our arrival so that they are adequately prepared. And as you know, we do pay for our food and drink. We do thank you all for your warm hospitality, but there are ethics rules that we must follow and abide by. So if we do partake in any food or beverages that you provide for us, we do have to leave you something. Post-visit activities, and we're now on slide 27. After the visit has taken place and the quality assurance and compliance staff has made the trip back to Tallahassee, you will receive a thank you letter as well as an evaluation survey as a result of the visit. And you will usually have it within 1 to 5 days of us returning here. And from that point, you will receive a monitoring report. And the monitoring report should be of no surprise to you. Actually, during your exit, we will share with you the various areas that we monitor to kind of focus on during the actual visit. So the report that you will receive will focus on those various areas as well. And if there was a resolution activity, it would be provided in your final report. A resolution activity plan would be for any corrective actions or findings or action plan concerns. And during that time, you would receive that in your report, and we would ask that you review that form. Designate a person that will be responsible for facilitating a strategy to basically rectify that situation. And it would have to be signed by that person and sent to our office for formal signature as well. And once all of the actions and if there were any corrective actions or actions within the plan, once all of those actions have been satisfied, you would receive a closure letter. We're now on slide 28, areas of focus. As stated earlier, when we're out monitoring, we will be focused on a variety of areas ranging from administration to data, student perspectives, financial reviews, as well as collaboration, to name a few. They will be of no surprise to you. We will share those items as related to the actual monitoring report with you during the exit and will be followed up in your actual final report. Common findings. Before you are just a few common findings that we observe over the course of the years during visits. But to name a few, our lack of advisory committees. We recall encountering absence of statements, lack of business and industry relationships with programs, and parental involvement. It's important to have these forms and different backup available for us so that we can review these things when we're out and about. They are the laws for which a lot of your programs receive support, and you know, the laws for which you all abide by. Another one is safety and security findings. Please be mindful of those. Exposed wires, extension cords, It doesn't happen often, but we have observed exposed wires and extension cords out and about in the classes. And by all means, we want to create an environment that is safe for our students while we're there, as well as lack of ramps and wheelchairs for easy accessibility. Common findings continued. Property inventory findings or equipment, incomplete or lack of inventory equipment, property not properly tagged. These are very important. You must abide by the law and authorities of EDGAR in moving forward the Omni Super Circle or Uniform Grant Guidance. It's important that your equipment is tagged as appropriate by the appropriate laws. Procurement findings, to name a few, lack of policies and procedures for contracting and or purchasing goods and services. Timesheets were not signed by employee or supervisor. That is a must. Executive director approved his or her own travel authorizations. These are things that you must pay close attention to and make sure that you are following the proper guidelines. We're now on slide 31, student records and findings, just to name a few, as well as data reporting findings. These were just additional findings that we encountered along the way. And we're just asking that you please be mindful and abide by the appropriate laws. Now on slide 32, common concerns, just to name a few. As stated earlier during this webinar, we did state that concerns are generally concerns. These are things that we observed during the course of the visit. And these are things we will bring to your attention, basically to allow you to facilitate your programs better and to make them or allow them to run much smoother. A few of them include last-minute spending. Oftentimes, out in the field, we notice that purchases are being made late April, early May. Well, school is getting ready. Graduation is getting ready to take place. Students are getting ready to break for vacation. We want to make sure that they benefit at all costs. You want to be mindful of staff development plans. Leadership succession plans. If you have individuals that have been there for a number of years that will be retiring soon, if they are retiring and no cross-training is taking place, we've known programs to fall through. So you want to be mindful of these things. Outdated textbooks, lack of classroom supplies. These are big items that you want to definitely pay attention to, as well as outdated policies and procedures. You want to be very mindful as laws are required. Common concerns continued, lack of attention to off-site location resource needs, and this generally refers to upkeeping of a facility. You want to promote a positive environment. We'll visit one provider and they have several off-site locations. One site in particular may be thriving, is well kept, and you visit another and they're not as well kept. So you want to be mindful of these things. Websites being out of date. Oftentimes a customer the first point of reference is your website. If it's out of date, the information is not current, so therefore it won't benefit the customer. Physical storage, space issues. You want to be mindful of these things as well. We're now on slide 34, monitoring reports. All of the quality assurance and compliance reports are available on our website. We ask that you review these so that you get an idea of how the monitoring visit went from provider to provider. Each provider has its own unique situation or flavor, and by you reading these different reports, you'll have a great idea of what they basically encountered along the way. So we definitely encourage you to visit those. And the reports are available from the 2010, 2011 year to current. And once we actually start our fall monitoring visits, as the visit is completed and the final reports are completed, they will be posted as well. Design, development, implementation, revision, and evaluation of the quality assurance system will benefit all of our providers and stakeholders. And before you, slide 36, we provided a list of tools and resources, and they are available at the following websites. We have the Carleen Perkins Career and Technical Education Improvement Act of 2006, to name a few, the Adult Education and Family Literacy Act of 1998, the EDGAR, the Federal Uniform Grant Guidance, Uniform Administrative Requirements, Cost Principles, and Adult Requirement for Federal Awards. This is a very important one because it actually went into effect, as stated, December 2014 for any post-awards from that point forward. So we ask that you visit these websites for your knowledge. Slide 37, tools and resources continue. We have here a list of the quality assurance policies, procedures, and protocols. You may find this very helpful. This is our Bible for quality assurance and compliance. We use this tool. We develop it annually. You know, we enhance it as needed. So we ask that you pay a visit to it. And while we're out visiting you, the series of questions that you all will receive, they are pulled from this policies, procedures, and protocols. So we ask that you take a look at it and, you know, be familiar with it if you can. We also have the Florida Department of Education Career and Adult Education website, as well as the DOE Green Book, which is pending final approval. The last one is the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act of 2014. That will go into effect July 1 of the 2016 year. This concludes our webinar, and we welcome your comments, feedback, and suggestions. Thank you. Questions or answers?
Presentation mode is now disabled.
Are there any questions?
So what's the show getting ready?
We've got to get her through the express nursing school, so we've got another year and a half.
Okay.
So, yeah,
yeah.
So we'll see how
it goes. Any questions? This concludes our webinar. Thank you.
Florida, in North Carolina, which is where my dad's family's from, and the church from about 17. Like one of the early settlers. So, and they said,